our class is getting back to normal, and man, that just is so exciting for me, and I know it is for you too. We're going to be continuing our topic from last week, I Love God's Bible. A little bit different part of it, but I hope that you have come expecting to think about God's Word. And Brother Albert's passing something out. If you'll just place that aside, we won't be at that for just a few minutes. But I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we will... Oh, by the way, good to have Travis back. We have been missing Travis. But I'm looking forward to more and more people coming in from, you know, and you got to be cautious. And I'm glad people are cautious, but I sure am glad when they come to church too. But if you'll bow your head with me, we'll open up our service in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house during this Sunday school hour. Thank you for these folks. I pray, God, that your word would open up something to us this morning, maybe that we haven't seen or seen in quite this perspective, or some. You have a way of blessing us, Lord, when we read your word. So I ask that you do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take your Bible and turn over to Psalm 119? Psalm 119. We're going to read two or three verses, and we're going to start with verse number 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Well, that's a pretty open and shut case, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty plain. That's understandable. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Not like our political parties in this country that change with the wind. Not like us sometimes. I change with the wind sometimes. God's word is fixed. Now look over in verse number 133 of the same chapter. 133 says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so I will keep thy precepts." Now, this is a huge chapter. If you've not, you know, I'm sure you've read it a bunch, but there's 176 verses. And I wanted to start out with some special verse. And verse 134 says, "Deliver me from the oppression of man." Now, when we pray to God, we pray for all kinds of reasons. Lord, get me out of this situation so I won't be so embarrassed. Lord, get me out of this situation, this financial situation. You know, help me out. I love what the psalmist says here. "Deliver me from the oppression of man." Why? "So I will keep thy precepts." God, get me out of this jam so I can serve you. God, get me out of this whatever situation I'm in so I can give you glory and honor for what you've done for me. Now, last week was just a little synopsis of the Old and New Testament, God's Word. This week, I want to come at it from a different perspective. I think it's awfully important for us to stand back sometimes and appreciate things. People that are married a long time have to do this. We've just, we're in our 31st year. I had to think for a minute. We're in our 31st year, and every now and then, spouses have to stop and remember why they love this person. What drew you to this person? Because that's special. That's important. If you have a job and you've been there a long time, sometimes you have to stop and remember, what am I doing? And, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm here because of this. Step back and appreciate what you've got. I think we as Christians need to stop every now and then and just appreciate God's Word. Just appreciate what He has given us in His Word. This book of 66 books, we looked at it last week. Two divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament simply means covenant or agreement. So there's an old agreement from God to man, and there's a new agreement from God to man. Starts with the book of the law, the first five books of the Bible. goes to the 12 books of history, as we talked about, the 5 books of poetry, the 12 small prophet books, and then the 5 major or longer prophet books. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament starts with the 4 Gospels, goes to that history book of Acts, talks about the early growth of the church, the 14 epistles or letters that Paul wrote to people and to churches, then the 7 books, the 7 epistles called general epistles, James through Jude, and then, of course, Revelation. So many things in the Bible, but what's it all about? Christ. That's what it's about. From the beginning to the end, it's about Jesus Christ. He is the entire theme of the Bible. So, picture this with me. Come to appreciate this with me. This was done in a time of no internet, no radio, very little communication. It took a long time to get one idea to from here to there. Appreciate this with me now. Many, many writers, 66 books, many, many writers, over many situations from many countries, one message, Jesus Christ. No contradictions in that message. Now, if there was no God, how could that happen? How could it agree? Please tell me, how could this Bible agree, written over a period, I don't even remember, 1800 years or something like that? Nobody was talking. I'll tell you why. The Holy Spirit was in charge. God was in charge. And there's a lot of people that don't understand that. And we talked last week about how sometimes not understanding God's Word is simply because they're not saved. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. God has preserved His Word in such a way, starting with Moses, and then with Joshua, and then with Samuel. And then when the writings were put together and they were lost and they were later found in the house of God where they should have been in the first place, the people read them and there was a great revival that took place. And let me tell you, anytime we do that, anytime we as a church or we as individuals read God's Word with a serious and a sincere and a loving and a humble heart towards Him, there's revival. And when we don't, there's not. Last week, David was talking about he remembers those years were many years back. And I remember some of them. A revival would start and it would last for 2 or 3 weeks. Oh my goodness, every night. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, God's Word is just getting a hold of a lot of people. God's Word is just getting a hold of a lot of people. And God will do that. Last week we talked about the differences between revelation, inspiration, and illumination. A revelation, God gave Moses the words. God gave John the words for Revelation, the last book of the Bible. In comes inspiration, where God so moved in the thoughts and in the situation of each writer that they did exactly what God wanted them to do. And then there's illumination, which we need from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to shed His light of understanding in our heart, because that is what He does. 1 Corinthians 2:10. Georgina's got that verse. Thank you, Georgina. Did you hear that first verse? God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's why read through the Bible is very important. But while you read through the Bible, you want to be sensitive enough to the leading and the speaking of God's Spirit. Before you read through the Bible, or RTB, before you RTB, once you P-R-A-Y, say, God, show me something from this. I need to know something from this. So we'll get to the handout in just a second, but I want to tell you 2 more things that It's very important about God's word. It is the only way of salvation, number one. That's it. You say, well, that's a given. Well, no, it's not a given in this world. People say you can be saved by being good and saying this and repeating this and being faithful in church for a while or going through something. No, God's word gives the only way of salvation. Pat, would you read us John 1, verse 1 and verse 4? Okay, so the only, according to that verse, the only source of life is God and His Son of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I can't get it by reciting anything else. I can't get it by being good enough. I have to get it through His Son, Jesus Christ. Beverly, will you read us 1 Peter 1:23? Did you get that? The Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You know what that means, and we're going to touch upon this in just a minute. People, if the Lord tarries His coming and people are still on this earth for the next 200 years, Royce, they're going to be holding the same Bible that you and I are holding. Isn't that neat? They're going to be holding the same God's Word. God's Word abides and lives forever. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. God's word is so important. It tells us that it provides us the only way of salvation. Pat, would you read John 20:31? These things are written that you may believe on His name. Linda, this whole book here was written from cover to cover just so you and I could trust in the Lord and take Him as our Savior. Over 1,800 years or 1,600 years or whatever it was, just so me and you, Jerry, could place our faith and trust in Him. Appreciate this right here. He preserved it. He has made it applicable to each person on this earth. He's given us a privilege on every Sunday to come together and meet with Him and meet with each other and study it. Appreciate that. I think we can easily take things for granted so time, but God's Word is so very, very important. You remember Philip in the New Testament in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit tells him to go to Gaza out in the desert. And so he goes out there and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority, a great leader, sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip goes up to him and asks him if he understands what he's reading. And the guy says, well, how else would I unless somebody explains it to me? And so they're reading in the book of Isaiah as well. And finally the eunuch said, of whom is all this talking about? Remember they were talking about Jesus, the prophecies concerning Jesus. Who's this talking about? And it says in Acts 8:35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And later it says that this eunuch believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was the Son of God. He was baptized. God's word was used to lead this man to the Lord. When Jesus was at the well with the woman, He used His word to change her heart. He used His word. The story of the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts. The word of God was used to change the heart of the Philippian jailer. That's how powerful the word of God is. We should appreciate that. You know, I love going to places in Tennessee where I was born and all these other places. I can see the nature of things. I can see how God created all of this and we can appreciate the power and glory of God by looking at stuff like that. But the only way we can see how to be saved is through His Word. There's a story that goes like this. Spurgeon pastored a church in London, as you know, and they built this great big auditorium, this brand new building. And Spurgeon one day, when it was all complete, he went up to the pulpit to test the acoustics. And a man who was walking by on the sidewalk heard the word of God and was saved. Isn't that neat? He just heard the word of God and realized he needed the Savior. And that happened because the word of God was being used. So the first thing is God's word is the source, the only source of our salvation. God's word, number two, is our only source of strength as a Christian. It's the only way we can fight Satan. It's the only way. It's our only weapon. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6, all the weapons that the Christian can use to be stronger in the Lord, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only way we can fight the Lord is using His word. The book of Jeremiah, the Lord says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" That sounds pretty strong. So it shouldn't surprise us if we have a society of so many Christians who are so weak and don't know what they believe if they never get into God's word. If it is only God's word that can help us make us strong and help us build us and give us faith, and we're never in the word of God, then it just makes sense that we'll never, ever develop as a child of God. We'll never, ever get into the will of God and see what He wants us to see. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He overcame the devil by using His word. Now, if Jesus used His word to overcome temptation, don't you think we need to too? Don't you think we need to consult the Word of God, and we need to pray about the Word of God? We need to take from it what we can. Now take your hand out there, and I want to go over just a couple of things. Reasons for studying God's Word. I wanted to print something out for you just so you can have it. And there's a lot more reasons than this. But the first one on this list of five is faith comes by hearing the word of God. You build your faith when you're first saved and you're a lost person. You're saved by this faith. It's coming from the word of God. Number two, the Bible brings conviction to the hearts of men. The verse I just quoted a moment ago. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Number three, knowledge of the Bible keeps us from sin. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number four, the Bible provides light and guidance for us as Christians. The same verse. And number five, the Bible keeps us from error and keeps us to become fully developed as a Christian. That just means that whatever God has intended for me to be, or Beverly, whatever God has intended for you to be, we're going to get there much faster if we spend time in God's Word. You see how important that is? You see how powerful that is? Those verses say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hey, listen, appreciate this. And I know you do. I'm preaching to the choir here. Appreciate what you've got in God's Word. It's a sad commentary on our times that if you visit churches, which I haven't in a long time, but before we came here, we were looking for a church and we visited a lot of churches. This was 16 years ago. A lot of churches in Lubbock. And in the majority of those churches, me taking my Bible, I was one of the few people that had a Bible. The few people. Because we've laid it on the shelf. We've laid it on the shelf at home, and we're going to let our pastor do it for us at church. That's a shame. I'm not being critical of them. I'm just saying they're not accessing the most powerful tool that they have as a child of God, His Word. I have copied some things down here, and there's no way, I'm not a wordsmith. I can barely come out with what I do. But my former pastor, Dr. Olam, pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie for 52 years. And I wanted to read this with you, because he was good at words, much better than me. But listen to this and read along with me. The Bible is above all other books. The Bible is the only authority for the rule and standard of our life. When the Bible speaks, that's the voice of God. Hey, appreciate that. This is God's voice talking to us here. It comes to us drenched in the tears of millions of repentant souls, worn with the fingers of agony and death, steeped in the prayers of many saints and stained with the blood of martyrs. Appreciate that right there. Appreciate that millions upon millions of people are now in heaven because they used the Word of God. They read the Word of God, the same one you have in your hands today. It has been used by saints of God to pillow their heads in time of sorrow, trouble, trial, and death. It breaks the fetters of sin, takes the heat out of life's fever and the pain out of parting, the sting out of death, and the gloom out of the grave. Appreciate that. It does all of that. It's unique, one of a kind. It's the book of God and the book from God. To what is the Bible likened? The Bible likens itself to many things. It's likened to a sword that we use to defend ourselves and defeat the enemy of our souls. It's likened to a fire that enables us to be warm in a cold world. It's likened to a hammer to break us down and convict of our sin and then build us up in the most holy faith. It's likened to a lamp to show us where to go and where not to go. It's likened to a mirror in which we can see what we are and what we ought to be. It's likened to milk, which nourishes the young babes in Christ. It's likened to water, which satisfies our thirst. It's likened to honey, to supply us with sweetness and purity. It's the standard of universal morals. It's the source of the world's jurisprudence. That's just a big name for the legal system. Justice. Justice. Did you know that our justice system was initially made after the pattern of what's in the Bible? Now, we're leaving that right now. We're doing other things. But that started right here in God's Word. It's the source of the sanctions of all civil and social order. It's the oldest and yet the freshest of all books. It's a book of living principles. It's forever the final court of authority. It's the treasury of the world's knowledge. It's the custodian of the heritage of the ages. It's a reflection of the past, a mirror of the present, and a prophecy of the future. It's a book that reveals God's will and truth unto men and through men. It's the only book that has withstood the criticisms of the centuries. Guys, appreciate God's Word. We have a wonderful opportunity and privilege to be in a church and be there for a long time, and it's consistent and it's regular, and we know we can get fed the Word of God. So we sometimes tend to get used to it and kind of find ourselves in a rut. I do anyway. From time to time, it's easy to find yourself in a little rut where you're just doing things. And you forget, it's easy to forget the wonder of what we're doing. The wonder of what God's Word can do in people's lives. What others have said about the Bible? Abraham Lincoln. I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good of the Savior is communicated through this book. Washington said, it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Napoleon said, the Bible is no mere book, but a living creature. It has the power that conquers all that oppose it. Now listen, Napoleon was a conqueror. He was a leader in his time. He conquered places. He knew what it was. And for that individual to make that statement about the gospel, the word of God, to conquer all. Flavel says the scriptures teach us the best way of living, the noblest way of suffering, and I like this one right here, the most comfortable way of dying. Little humor there. Beecher said, the Bible is God's chart for you to steer by, to keep you from the bottom of the sea, and to show you where the harbor is and how to reach it without running on rocks or bars. A little maritime wisdom there. Spurgeon said, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. Just as a side note, I have all these very old commentaries passed down to me from my dad. And in the forward section of so many of them, written by men who've been gone, some of them 100 years, 200 years, that old, they're always making statements like this. I've been studying the Word of God 50, 60, 70 years, Stacy. And when I open its pages, its words are fresh to me every day. Isn't that something? And you know what it is? Those words have been there the whole time, by the way. It's illumination. Something, Linda, that you and I have read 100 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000 times. And this time, God so turns the light on. He illuminates our heart and shows us something. Brother Chris said that just a week or two ago in a message. I've read over this passage dozens and dozens of times, and I've never seen this. Well, yeah, I'm the same way. He so touches us to stop and look at a word sometimes, or a verse. Or for me, I'm a situational guy. I love to watch movies that show people's situations, what they go through. So I'm reading God's Word, and I'll see a situation. And Brother Albert, I'll think, boy, that guy went through a mess on that deal. Boy, he must, God really had to take him and fix that thing because he couldn't have done it by himself. That's what God's Word does. Theodore Roosevelt, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Woodrow Wilson, when you've read the Bible, you'll know it's the Word of God because you will have found it is the key to your own heart, your own happiness, and your own duty. Andrew Jackson said, Bible, that book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Appreciate what we got. Appreciate God's Word. Appreciate the privilege of being able to open it and to read it and to study its words. Once again, a book written over thousands of years. Many writers, many situations from many countries, but one message, the message of Jesus Christ, and with no discrepancies. Appreciate that miracle. Appreciate that wonder right there. The only way of salvation, the only way to fight Satan, and also appreciate the effect of God's Word upon people, millions and millions of people, for thousands of years. We hold in our hand a book that has changed people for thousands of years, and it's changed them for the better. It's touched their heart to where they've gone out and they've built churches and they've built hospitals and they've become missionaries and they've built societies and they've become leaders and presidents. This is valuable. It's not just something that we grew up with and now we bring to church and sometimes we open it when Brother Chris prays. No, this is priceless right here. Would you pray with me? God, would you help us to always remember how important it is to place high value upon your word. At our disposal, we have so much to read and so much to listen to. The internet gives us millions of sources. God, help us as Christians, as your people, to place the most value and spend the most time not on the internet, not on social media, or not on things of this world, but on your word. Create a strength in each person here to where they would devote themselves to the study and a reading of your word. And give us a profound appreciation for those pages which we'll never forget or we'll never lose. In Jesus' name, amen.